welcome to Buena Vista. It's a bonus episode for you, a sweet patron who forked out your hard-earned for the bonus episodes. I am Andrew. I'm here with Lucy.
G'day.
And, of course, Theo.
Hey. This show all just started all of a sudden. It's kind of breezed through my hair.
Launching us straight in there.
Let's do this.
We're in. Started. It's happening.
I thought I would just hit record and get straight back to talking about what we were talking about, which is Michael Bay's Transformer movies.
Oh, no.
It really threw me off. It threw me off just then. Answer the question, Andrew. Why have you been watching the Transformers movies?
I genuinely don't know. Like, there are a whole bunch of movies that I think I've talked on the show about, like, quite liking all of the sort of Marvel superhero movies and the Avengers movies and stuff. And I, like, you know, I know they're not any, like, genius brain food or anything. I know they're just dumb popcorn shit. And that's what my brain likes about it. My brain goes, yeah, just turn off any critical parts and just settle into this hot spa of pop culture and it's fine.
I feel like even with that caveat, right, the Transformers movies are so offensively made that it's like there's a disconnect between like enjoying something because it's bad, right, and having to force yourself to sit through something, and like just the cuts in it and the
camera work is extremely headache inducing. It's a very bad no man's land between. Like you're saying, it's not so bad that it's good because they are, you know, hideously expensive films. It's not good on its own merits. They're, as you said, they're almost kind of... I feel like I just have a kind of... I'm just kind of fascinated by them. Maybe it's more like... maybe it's more like the way I'm fascinated by Steven Seagal movies, you know? Like, particularly the ones from the start of his career, where he was more sort of peaking fame-wise, because every frame of those movies, I'm just looking at it and going, who thought this guy was a movie star?
Mm.
Like, the whole way through, I can't figure out what the appeal is supposed to be or whatever. The Transformer movies are like that, where they're just incomprehensible. Like, the plots are... almost all the same. Like you said, Theo, they are terribly edited. Like, I was watching one of them and there's a chase going on with the human characters and a fight going on between, like, Optimus Prime and some other big robot at the same time. And, like, in the cuts in this chase and stuff, it's like, they're on a road on the highway. They're driving through cornfields. And the next cut, they're, like, in a city. Like, in the middle of the business district of a city. I was like, how the fuck did you get here? Why are you not explaining any of this? They've obviously just, you know, done like a 45-minute long chase scene and then gone, oh, wait, we can't put all that in. Cut out like massive stretches. Optimus Prime dies in every movie and comes back.
Does he really?
Every movie, it
that doesn't
involves
make sense.
Him. Every movie at some point, like, some better robot takes off his sword and runs him through with it, and he goes, go on without me. And then they resurrect him at some point, and he goes, I'm back, and I'm Cyber Jesus.
Well, he doesn't come back. He gets killed and then doesn't come back in the 1986 cartoon.
Oh.
No, well, he turns into Rodimus Prime, doesn't he?
Does he?
Well, Hot Rod.
Hot Rod turns into Rodimus Prime. Hot Rod's like teenage Optimus Prime.
Wasn't that the last role of... Orson Welles?
It was, as the as Galacticus or whatever it's called.
Unicron.
Yes. And he hated every second of it, but it's like, well, gotta get paid.
Need that whiskey money.
Yeah. This all sounds ridiculous. I'm sorry.
So anyway, that's a super hot and exceptionally fresh take about the Transformers movies being bad.
Yes, I've been watching all of them in sequence and I still don't know why.
God,
so there you go. If you know why I'm watching them, please write into the show.
That's all right. I watched Tom Hanks' Sully the other day.
And how was that?
Me and my boyfriend were like, this looks fucking stupid. Let's watch it. And then eventually there was like 20 minutes on the phone when neither of us had said anything because we were both very into Sully with Tom Hanks.
Really?
You gotcha.
It was really good. It was a good movie.
That's Tom Hanks, man. He doesn't fuck around.
I think Sully is a hero, you know? I think that plane didn't just land itself. It's really changed my perspective.
Damn, they gotcha. Sully got you.
Sully got me.
Huh.
Hmm.
Well, folks, it turns out there might be even more exciting things going on in the nation than what movies we're watching.
Oh, I guess. I guess.
Look, I will just say, I'm up to the Mark Wahlberg ones now. And I still haven't seen the one that involves, like, King Arthur. There's, like, a fifth one that involves the Autobots being around on Earth when King Arthur was around. You know, factual historical figure, King Arthur.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so it's got, like, Mark Wahlberg with a sword on the cover and everything.
Oh, cool. Goodness.
Anyway.
Oh, that sounds dope.
Sounds good.
Speaking of transforming, Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews is intending to transform the public transport system.
Oh, my God.
He is.
Thanks. Thanks, Theo.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I take a little break. I forget what this show is.
I always forget that he's like this.
Oh. Hey, can check, everyone. Quick can check before we get into it.
I've got an Asahi Sukai. It is crisp and refreshing. Last of the summer beers that have been, autumn beers that have been languishing in my fridge while it's been too cold to drink beer.
Nice.
I don't know what season that is, but okay. Lucy?
Oh, I'm sipping an ice-cold Victoria Bitter. Andrew.
Whoa, I was absolutely expecting you to once again be in poor health and drinking like a hot orange juice or something.
No, I'm good. I'm back on the VBs.
Yeah, that's the way. Well, explaining my idiotic demeanor, I am drinking a Holgate Norton Lager, whatever that is.
All right.
Some kind of pretty nice lager, I reckon. Made by these people I've never heard of. And I just got an early Father's Day present, which is a 1 liter bottle of Grey Goose vodka.
Ooh.
I've been hankering for a tasty vodka, and now I'm drinking a great big iced glass of it with my beer.
Is it good? I never had the Grey Goose.
Oh, it's delicious.
What? Rappers drink, man.
Goes down so smooth.
Nice.
Well, then rappers have good taste.
Apparently so.
My picks are Grey Goose, the old... What's the other one? It's the other one I like, the Polish one. Oh, let's not get into that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to Daniel Andrews. Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews.
Beautiful
love
man.
Of Lucy's life.
Love of my life. The only good politician left.
Pretty much. Oh, they finally said that they were going to roll out those proposed laws, the tenant laws.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which was very good. Those were the new laws that they were going to put in place, cementing tenants' rights to do things like, treat the house they're living in as a home.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have pets, you can, put a hook in the wall to hang up a picture without having to contact the landlord.
Yep.
I think the ones that really shocked people were, that it is now a condition of renting a house that, the stove has to work. There has to be, a working stove and oven, and, the hot water has to work and shit.
But has anyone considered what I, the most marginalized class on earth, the homeowner, thinks about all of this?
I know. Poor landlords.
Because won't I'm over here trying to treat, a house as a commodity. And next I hear that people have to live in it, and it's just... absolutely fucked to me.
It is fucked. I mean, I just think these people should consider buying their own house.
These people.
Scum.
Buy your own house if you want to put a picture hook in it. That's what I say. Me, a landlord.
I got to say, it is one of my favorite types of people to reply to online. Angry landlords. replying to these news stories. It's very fun. But yeah, he also announced basically a big underground city ring train type thing, didn't he?
He did. It's connecting all the suburbs of Melbourne, which is great because at the moment all the trains just go into the city and out. So if you want to go sideways, it sucks, man.
Yeah, sucks. That's kind of the well, you got to get on a bus.
Yeah, you got to get on a bus. And there's not a lot of buses and they're dirty and full of the common folk.
Oh, no. So.
I would never go on a bus. I would never ride the bus. So, it's very good.
Well, yeah, that tends to be the problem with Melbourne is that it has the whole grid thing going, which is nice, like right in the city. So it's very easy to like catch trams around and walk over a couple of blocks or whatever. But the further out you get, like you said, you're basically just moving in a straight line away. And if you need to go sideways from that point, not that great. So this was announced and it elicited some interesting reactions from the
was
right wing.
Was there angry reactions, really, to this?
let me give you the quote from, is he still the resources minister or is he the former resources minister? Matt Canavan.
I don't know.
Gave his comment on Daniel Andrews and his plans for a suburban rail loop. Quote, "You won't be able to fund that using gender-neutral language."
What?
Yep.
I don't understand.
Well, you see, Lucy, you being a leftist think that the economy runs
on gender-neutral language.
On genderless pronouns.
Right. You get money. The government gets money every time you use a genderless pronoun. That is how I think the economy functions as a leftist.
Yes. Yes, that's where money comes from. Yeah,
I was honestly just mouth agape when I heard this. Not because it's like particularly offensive. I mean, it sucks, right? But like, how do you take like this news and then be like, well, time to crack out some old transphobia? Like, that's like, how do you get from A to B on this? Because it's just baffling that like their reaction to a state actually investing in infrastructure is like, oh, let's make this about identity politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can only assume that that is the reaction. The reaction is, we've told people that we're the infrastructure government, despite not actually investing in infrastructure anywhere. The only places that the coalition have invested in infrastructure is like trying to throw money at like massive coal mines on the Great Barrier Reef. What's the name of that fund that got set up like in the Northern Territory or something? It was like an infrastructure development fund and I can't remember the name of it now. But basically like every contract that has been awarded from that thing has been some like super shonky mates deal to someone from the Liberal Party.
Oh, wow.
Well, shocking stuff, I know. But yeah, like if you remember before Daniel Andrews was the Premier, Ted Bailey was still the Premier.
Yes, I remember that guy.
And that was when they signed up all the contracts for the East... What was it? The East-West
Link?
East-West Link.
I think so.
Massive highway expansion, which was one of those great scenarios where a government said, we're signing the state up to pay, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars for this thing, and we can provide absolutely no justification for the reason to actually do it. They had a whole bunch of studies done, a whole bunch of like cost benefit analysis and stuff, and they said, we've had all the research done and we will never be releasing it. Because all of it found the same thing that all that research always does, which is that if the only money you ever spend is on like expanding highways, that it doesn't assist like with traffic or anything at all. Like what they need is more ways for people to move around. Like you look at like Los Angeles, where they've expanded freeways to be like 8 lanes wide and shit.
Yeah, and it's love it.
Gridlock. Yeah. And it's just gridlock. Because all the studies show that like if you expand traffic like that, if you just go, we'll just put more lanes in, then the traffic just pours in and fills up that space and no one gets anywhere any quicker.
Sure does.
So they very craftily had a secret meeting to sign all of the contracts and stuff like a couple of weeks out from an election, where one of the defining issues of the election was, will this project go ahead? So it was some incredibly shady shit. And lo and behold, the Andrews government has been investing in infrastructure, but in a way that is actually useful to people, like removing railway level crossings and projects like this. So, of course, if you are being shown up as being extremely ineffectual at doing infrastructure.
Right, you'd get pretty mad.
The best thing to do is to say, yeah, well, you guys are probably gay.
That's right.
You guys are probably gay with your trains.
Probably gay. I was expecting some Apex gang discourse, to be honest, you know. Those trains will be great for black kids to do crime
in
Victoria.
We don't dare to go on the trains.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't catch the trains anymore.
The middle carriage is the Sharia carriage.
Daniel Andrews, Victoria.
Yeah, they'll be filled with roving packs of thugs. Yep.
That is most comments on Daniel Andrews' Facebook page, by the way. It's just people being like, what about the violence in Victoria? It's your fault. Love it. Love it.
And be like, did anything happen to you? And they'll be like, no, but I saw a thing on Today Tonight.
Now I'm scared.
Well, yeah, I was equally perplexed by this whole thing because it just goes to show you yet again, as much as like right-wingers complain that the left is obsessed with, you know, culture war stuff and SJWs and virtue signaling and making everything about all this sort of stuff, they can't stop themselves from making it about that. Like, it was like Rowan Dean talking about the Thai cave rescue stuff and going, oh, well, it wasn't renewable energies or gender fluid divers that got him out of there.
Yeah, stuff that we never make it about.
It was big, muscular, hetero pedos. yeah, like
verbatim, I think.
That is what he said. I'm trying to remember what the other one of these things recently of somebody just making it about gender neutral shit for no reason.
Andrew Bolt did a whole thing on it as well.
Absolutely ridiculous. And there was a statement that came out, I think, from the opposition. And this was posted on Twitter by Jeff Lemon. Shout out to a friend of the show, Jeff Lemon, at Jeff Lemon on Twitter, who posted this saying, this on New Train Line says all you need to know about the Liberal Party. And there's a little clip from an article that says, the state opposition lashed the announcement, labeling it, quote, a plan for the next generation.
Okay. How state government tends to work.
It's, but like,
imagine that your politics include planning for more than just the next 3.5 years that it takes for you to be voted out.
Doesn't it really say something that someone would think that that is an insult?
Oh my god!
But yeah, because the general policy is to just, if it's happening after your term, it doesn't fucking matter.
Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Imagine we build a scalable city.
Yeah. Imagine we actually do something for the city that's not partisan, you know?
Yeah, imagine spending money on something to make things better later instead of now or in the past.
Crazy
stuff.
Just
imagining them, like, showing a year on the screen, it's like 1840 and they're like nodding like, yeah, yeah, no, I understand this. And it's like 1860, yeah, yeah, no, getting closer, like 1990, I was there, I was in 1990. And then it's like 2032 and they're like, what is this? What the fuck?
That's never going to exist.
What did you just
do? That's never going to happen.
Like, yeah, and of course the Victorian Liberal opposition is led by the chronic wiener Matthew Guy.
Hate that guy.
Oh, fucking God, sucks. He's got
his name
sucks
like
so
wet
hard.
Cardboard.
That's the worst name.
He does make for great headlines, though.
He does.
Guy rejects this thing. Guy complains about. Yeah, and he's fucking sucked the whole time. He was the planning minister, like under Ted Bailey's government. And the whole time he was in just did the most crooked shit as far as approving skyscrapers on top of fucking heritage listed sites and all that sort of shit and having dinner with mobsters and all that sort of stuff. If you do tweet at him about him having dinner with organized crime figures, he will immediately block you.
Hmm. Interesting.
I can't even remember what he blocked me for. It was a very long time ago. But he sucks. He sucks the big one. Mm. But he's also one of those people who is just an absolute charisma vacuum. Nothing happening at all. So
yep.
The chance of him getting in there, I think, is probably pretty slim. So good. Fuck him.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Now, folks, since we're here, we might as well get into part two of our previous episode, which was left on the cliffhanger of us not knowing for about 12 hours who the Prime Minister was.
I can't wait to find out.
We did dub the answer into the show, but yeah, Theo doesn't actually know who the Prime Minister is.
What?
He's been waiting. He's been waiting to get
He has not.
The show.
Yeah. He has not.
I've been withholding from myself.
Yeah. It'll feel so much better when you find out, though, you know?
Well, leaving
you
it longer,
be real happy.
Yeah. Theo's just edging towards just knowing who the Prime Minister is.
Yeah.
So, as I'm sure many people know by now, chronic dipshit and god botherer Scott Morrison has become Australia's 30th Prime Minister?
Well, I guess.
30th, right?
Yep. Sure.
I'm going to say yes. He sucks. It's the whole scene is very strange to me. So basically, they had the follow-up leadership spill thing. Malcolm Turnbull was digging his heels in and saying, show me this petition with the 43 signatures that you need or whatever to have more than half the people so that I can be forced to hold a meeting. And also prove to me that Peter Dutton is eligible to sit and various other things. To give Scott Morrison time to get his numbers together. Julie Bishop announced that she was throwing her hat in the ring. And
her hat was immediately tossed back out of the ring.
Very much.
Very immediately.
So, yeah, the way I believe that it works is that everybody who wants to be in on the leadership challenge nominates, and they do a round of votes, a secret ballot. They all scratch out their names with their dirty little hooves. And then, you know, the people who are lowest get removed, and they do another round, and they keep doing that until they come down to two people, and then they find the winner. So the first round, Julie Bishop lost immediately. And then they had the second round, and Scott Morrison won by I think it was like 40 to 45 or something.
What a depressing state.
Which is, of course, very similar to the margin that Malcolm Turnbull won the first spill by. So basically, he said, look, if I get, you know, challenged again, if you get more than half people saying they want a leadership spill, I will just fucking quit. I'll quit. But the person who nominated instead of him was Scott Morrison, who's, you know, a very close ally of his, who is also a relative moderate within the Liberal Party. And so, you know, as we've sort of seen people point out, so basically Peter Dutton causes this whole thing, doesn't get the job that he wants, has to go to the backbench, has another spill, still doesn't get the top job, and like Scott Morrison does, which is the closest thing in the party you could have to still having Turnbull, except that they've done themselves enormous damage and they're not changing like any of their policies.
And the approval rates are way down already. Love it.
So what the fuck was the point in any of it?
I mean, even like talking, I guess, like I've talked to a few people that are not like, you know, obsessed with politics, and the general feeling is like, why the hell did they do this? Why would they tear this down? Because I mean, I think the sentiment is pretty obvious that nobody liked Malcolm Turnbull in the party, but as far as like preferred PM goes, he's always done pretty well, right? Mm. So like, this is purely like politicking. It's just like them just playing their Game of Thrones shit, and I think it's the most naked that it's been in a long time, which says a lot considering, you know, as like people like to wheel out that we haven't had, you know, PM finish their term since Howard. So
well one of the things that I spoke about in the last episode was that when Julia Gillard deposed Kevin Rudd, the reasoning that she gave was, oh, well, he's taking the country in the wrong direction and we couldn't just sit by. but they still maintained all of the same policies. They kept doing everything exactly as they were. And she was asked about it for the rest of her political career. And she was never able to answer adequately, because the actual answer was Kevin Rudd's a fucking maniac. Like, extremely popular retail politician.
Yeah.
Absolute inept leader. And full-on abusive psychopath. And so she never quite explained that properly. Tony Abbott took the leadership of the opposition from Malcolm Turnbull on the basis of Malcolm Turnbull's intended support for Labour's carbon trading scheme. Then Malcolm Turnbull took it back from him after he was a couple of years into his prime ministership. Again, though, the reasoning was he's lost 30 news polls in a row. He is lurching from scandal to gaffe to disaster to catastrophe. He can't get fucking anything right. All of his policies are terrible. He's fucking woeful at explaining all of them. You know, the public is extremely not on board with him. And that's why we need to, you know, give me a chance. So again, like you're saying, Theo, he still gave a reason, you know? Whereas when this came up with Malcolm Turnbull, the only explanation was like, well, we're not doing well in the polls.
They all just hate him.
Yeah, well
yeah, they all hate him. He's not right wing enough.
And he's not towing the coal lobby line.
Yep.
Which, you know, as we have found out, is extremely powerful in the Liberal Party. And I think it's very, very evident when you compare, you know, the event and how it's reported in News Corp stuff, which is, of course, everywhere, where Scott Morrison is hailed as a hero and an everyman uniformly.
Well, it was far enough that, like, so when they announced that Morrison had won the leadership, he came out and gave his press conference and announced that Josh Frydenberg was going to be the deputy and treasurer. And during their speech, he was like, ah, we're on your side. This is a generational change. It's a new generation of Liberal leadership. And that was, you know, very clearly what they had decided was the talking point. So again, they're not actually saying at any point, hey, we're acknowledging that we got all these things wrong and we're going to change them. It was just, it's a new generation of leadership. And I was watching ABC News 24, and they had just wheeled out some fucking nobody MP to like get bulldozed on interviews. And he was doing, you know, your classic politician thing of being asked a question and going, well, I really can't comment on that, but 30-second soundbite that you know, they've pre-written for him, and then that is just his cookie-cutter response to absolutely everything. And the thing he kept repeating over and over again was, this is a new generation of you know, Liberal leadership. This is the next generation of leadership. And, of course, the front page of the Daily Telegraph, edited by huge dipshit Shari Markson, had at the fucking caption at the top of the page, like, next generation Liberal leadership. It was just like, it's down to the fucking point where she's actually just reprinting Liberal talking points. Like, yeah, and like you're saying, the whole daggy dad thing.
Oh god, I know.
He's just a normal daggy dad.
Yeah, just, and it's like, normal. No, my dad actually has cool political opinions. Fuck off.
He's just a normal daggy dad who's also a hyper evangelical Christian.
Loves keeping kids in camps. Yeah, loves all of it.
Who architected the fucking Project Sovereign Borders.
Mm. Oh boy.
God damn.
As people have been posting, you know, this story from the refugees, quite frequently, where, you know, they got them all into a room and they thought they were going to show them a movie. They showed him Scott Morrison. He's saying, you will never be settled in Australia, right? Like, you will never call Australia home, but we're also not going to release you, right? So, like, just the tacit admission that they are just holding these people there indefinitely, and we accept this behavior and we say that this behavior is good enough for this man to be our prime minister. It's absolutely disgusting.
Well, I mean, I feel that his reward for setting that whole scheme up and prosecuting it so effectively was being able to transition out of that into another role and rehabilitate his image in the eyes of the public.
God.
So, you know, Julie Bishop announced that she was not going to go back into the cabinet and she was going to reconsider her political future. I think she's announced since then that she's going to run again at the next election for wherever the fuck she's from. And I saw a lot of stuff lamenting, like a lot of stupid, you know, hire more female prison guards kind of liberal shit of people lamenting this idea that, like, you know, the most powerful woman in Australia has just, like, quit this job and been consigned to the dustbin of history because she's been second in charge for 11 years and they've been overlooking her the whole time. She's so successful and everything. And this is really bad for the Liberal Party. It's bad for Australian women. To which I would say, number one, it's the fucking Liberal Party that's bad for Australian women. Like, yep. It's the Liberal Party that doesn't want you to have reproductive rights or a fucking say over yourself or any of that sort of thing.
Yep.
Who doesn't believe in, like, equal pay or gender quotas or any of that sort of stuff. And I also dispute this idea that she's, like, an enormously successful politician. Because I don't know if anybody remembers, but she used to be the shadow treasurer. And if I might be wrong, I haven't actually looked this up since remembering it. But I'm pretty sure she had to quit because her fucking performance was so bad.
Really?
It was just so clearly not across her portfolio. And that's kind of reflected in, you know, that people talk about how successful she is as a foreign minister, but part of the reason that a foreign minister is considered such a plum role is because it's all statesmanship, you know, stage play shit. It's all about saying the right thing and all that sort of stuff. But, like, whenever she's asked about anything directly outside of her portfolio as foreign minister, she goes, oh, that's not my portfolio. Oh, I can't speak to that. You should ask the relevant minister. Or gives an answer that shows that she doesn't really know anything about it. And as people have said, you can't be the prime minister if you're not interested enough to know anything about the policies that your government puts forward other than, you know, the ones you're interested in. But, she's just like, it's like I was saying last week, man, fuck Julie Bishop. Like, you know, if her whole thing is that she, you know, like the Hillary Clinton, it's her turn just by virtue of having been deputy leader of the opposition for 11 years, she's supposed to be the fucking prime minister now.
Oh, I just love that she's the, you know, the complete right-wing girls that think that because they're the cool right-wing girl that guys won't be sexist to them. And, well... kiss my ass, Julie, because they are. There's no way that she would become the leader because it's full of sexism.
Well, yeah, it's that sort of thing where it's like, oh, well, with her out now, they've got like two women in cabinet.
Yep.
And yeah, and it's also very clearly a thing that, like, the only kind of woman that's allowed to exist in that role is like Julie Bishop or Michaela Cash.
Mm-hmm, but they'll never be the leader of the party.
Yep, they're just fucking carbon copy, cookie cutter, Stepford wives, motherfuckers, little hair helmets, power suits. You kind of get the feeling, particularly with Michaela Cash, that there's almost that thing of, like, you know, she has to be even more fucking abrasive than, like, half the men in the party just to prove the point. I don't know.
Yeah, fit in with the boys.
I'm not a feminist. That's not a real term, said the Minister for Women.
Mm.
Was it fucking Michaela Cash that was the minister for women that was like, I'm not a feminist. Yeah. It's not a real thing.
I think so.
Awesome. Fucking awesome.
Cool. Love it.
Hmm. No, yes, she was removed. She was the shadow treasurer, making her the first woman to hold that portfolio. But let's see.
I love it when I do such a good job that I'm removed.
Yeah, less than 6 months later, she was removed from the position with widespread media speculation that her colleagues were dissatisfied with her performance in the role.
Oh, God, I wish I could just be removed from my job and put in a different one instead of just fired.
So that's kind of where we're at, is Scott Morrison heading up at the Liberal Party with absolutely tanking polls, which is good.
Love it.
Well, it does suck, though, because they're going to... I mean, the concept is have your spill, get all the pieces back together, and then call an election as soon as possible and ride the wave, right? But there is no wave here. It's just like a little lapping of piss up against the wall. So it really kind of feels like we're in for a long ride of rehabilitating the rehabilitated Scott Morrison until he's possibly popular enough to limp towards maybe not a total thrashing in the election, but it certainly doesn't appear that way so far.
Yeah, less of a wave and more of like a stagnant pond in a stormwater drain, you know? Just one of the ones that you're like, look, if your frisbee went in there, you would definitely get a very long stick and try and grab it out. You would not put your foot in the water. So is basically where we're at with that. I mean, you know, it's very obvious that from the perspective of the Liberals, it's better for them that they have someone who is better at retail politics than Peter Dutton, although I think we can all admit that it would be morbidly fascinating to see that absolute corpse of a man.
Oh, it would have been incredible.
Yeah, run an election campaign.
It would have been amazing. He has, like, no social skills.
No, he looks like shit.
He looks terrible. When he speaks, it's no good. It is just no good.
Absolutely. He just is... His whole head looks like, you know, half a shaved pig carcass that they use to practice tattooing on. Just fucking... Just terrible. Just terrible. And he gets... somehow gets worse year on year.
Oh, like,
the
no
more
good.
Hair he loses.
Oh, God.
Somehow his face gets less wrinkles every year.
Yeah, it does. It's like just smooth, stretched out a little bit more.
It's like he retains the same amount of skin, but like his encephalitis just expands outwards.
His face very much has the look of like the skin that John Wayne Gacy has cut off someone's head and stretched over a lamp. That's more the kind of face he's got going on.
It's not good.
It's not great, folks. But yeah, so like, I'm sure we were all kind of morbidly curious to see what would have happened had he tried to be a retail politician. But I was also extremely worried about the idea that he would become the leader, and the left would go, "Ha ha, you're going to get destroyed at the polls," and then we would have our own big Donald Trump moment. Because that's exactly what everybody was saying, like, all through the Republican primary. And when Donald Trump won the nomination, everyone was just like, wow, what a crazy circus. Wild that he's never going to be the president. And that went how that went. Mm. So I'm kind of glad we don't have to find that out the hard way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that all that said, the Liberals were absolutely fucked with Turnbull in. And Turnbull is far more palatable to the public than Morrison is. Like, Turnbull was still like 10 or 20 points higher in polls than Morrison as preferred PM. I think it's the first time that Bill Shorten's suddenly been ahead as preferred PM.
Mm, I think so.
Which says something about how much of a hit they've taken as a result of this, because Bill Shorten's numbers don't move. People just go up or down around him.
Yeah,
he's not doing
anything. Like the tides. Like the tides, you know?
Just Ray Bradbury-ing it all the way home.
And look, to be honest, I mean, we might transition at this point to taking some letters from the old mailbag.
Yes.
Because we did ask for letters when all this was kicking off, and we had so much shit to get through on the last episode that we didn't even answer any of them. So we might jump in and answer a few of these now, because I did see one that relates to the very thing that we're talking about right now. Dear wife of the show, Tal Waterhouse. Mwah! Tal asks, will we ever have a party leader complete a full term ever again, or are we doomed to this groundhog day of a political system? And I have been wondering if, like... I have been wondering if Bill Shorten's appeal through this election is going to be, like, almost entirely based around the fact that he has now just been the leader and led the opposition for, like, a couple of terms.
He has too.
With no major turmoil and no major scandals and no leadership contests, no anything like that. The only time that there's been speculation about his leadership was recently at the at those by-elections where Turnbull spent all this time whipping up the media and saying, ah, these by-elections are going to be a referendum on Bill Shorten's leadership. Like, if they lose, if they lose one of these contests, then that'll be the proof that the people don't back him. But Labour picked up like 4 seats or whatever, and the Liberals lost all the ones they were running for. And so Turnbull accidentally turned it into a referendum on himself. But
I think also keep in mind that leadership spills are based on the internal mechanics of the party in leadership, right? So when Kevy Boy got back in after he deposed Julia Gillard, they made some changes to how these leadership challenges can actually be spawned within the Labour Party. So if they put the
what did they do again? It was.
Do you remember what they changed? Specifics.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was something about that you had to have a certain percentage of the party room, and it was like over 50%. You had to have like 70 or 80% or something of the party room, and also a certain percentage of rank and file members. It was something that essentially made it almost impossible for it to happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure myself, but I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see something like this from the Liberal Party, because I think everybody by this point knows that it's absolute electoral poison. It's been poisoned since day dot, and people don't like it. The public don't like it, and I don't think anybody will want to sit in that seat with the knowledge that they can just be demolished at any time, sort of thing. So I assume we'll probably see something from the Liberal Party at the same time, which may produce some semblance of stability.
But I also think, though, that like I said, I think that part of the appeal of Bill Shorten to both his party and to the electorate is going to be not that he is a wildly popular politician, but just that he has been like an even hand on the keel of a political party for like over 5 years or whatever it's been.
So one thing he's got going for him.
Yeah,
the
basically.
One thing.
Is there going to be a point where people are so fucking sick of what's been happening that they'll be like, absolutely, give me boring, give me stable. Like, he's going to be the super normie boyfriend that you shack up with when you're rebounding.
Yeah.
Like
after you've had a crazy ex. Yeah. You get a boring guy.
Malcolm was supposed to be for the Liberal Party as well, right? Because people were sick of Tony Abbott's just...
Yeah.
Insane weirdness, right? So like, oh, okay, well, this is, this will be good, or at least better.
There's another possibility on the cards, actually, which is Tony Abbott is still in there.
Oh, yeah, and he hasn't ruled anything out as well.
Come on, yeah. Tony.
Yeah, Tony Abbott's still in there. He refuses to rule out the idea that he, no longer holds leadership ambitions.
God, that would be so funny.
It would be great.
It's not going to happen, but oh my God.
It would make me so happy.
And Peter Dutton still holds leadership ambitions, and the hard right of the Liberal Party, which spawned this whole challenge in the first place, is still extremely unhappy with Scott Morrison getting in because he is essentially just stepping into the shoes that they just shoved Turnbull out of.
Which like, is also like we said, very funny.
Well, as we said, it's kind of the weirdest thing about this is that at no point of any of all of this stuff, compared, like you said, Theo, sort of nakedly compared to all the other times it's happened over the last 10 years, is that there not at any point has anyone involved said like, oh, we hate these policies, you know, we're going down the wrong road here, like we need to fix this specific thing. It's all just been like, nah, fuck this guy. Or you know, he's not sufficiently right-wing enough, but without having any specifics behind it.
It really reminds me, like, there's this psychology kind of concept where you make the decision to do something, right? So they've made the decision to oust Turnbull, right? Because he is no good according to the right of the party. And they've gone, okay, well, we're going to oust him. We're going to put Peter Dutton in. But it turns out that Peter Dutton's no good, right? Because he looks like hell and he's dumb as a brick.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, well, we've made the decision now. Why we have to put this to the vote? We'll get someone to do it. And then they've ended up with something that's obviously just... It's not achieved any of the original goals, but the point was that they made the decision to oust Turnbull. And then like, this is what they get, I guess.
Just can't stop thinking about Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
Ugh.
It's not really fitting in my brain.
I think there's a reason for that, though, which is that, like we said, he's absolutely Stephen Bradbury'd into the role.
But yeah, I don't think it'll last.
No, it really has the feel of, like, he is just being caretaker until the election.
Which I think will be quite soon.
The election is going to happen in May at the latest, I believe.
Sportsbet reckons it's happening in October.
Well, I mean...
I'm not sure why that is, specifically.
I guess, yeah, the whole thing... I just don't understand how anything works internally because, like, I don't understand why, for example, if you thought that you really wanted to turf Malcolm Turnbull out of that role and get into the leadership, why would you not just wait, go to the election... Let him get fucking bulldozed and go, here's our evidence that he is no longer viable as a leadership figure. I would like to replace him. As opposed to rolling him, like, you know, a maximum of 6 months out from the election, causing enormous bad will, a massive drop in the polls, like making everybody fucking hate your party all over again, then having to presumably still lead the party to defeat. So all you've done at that point is like both caused an enormous bunch of ill will and lost an election. How does any of that do any kind of favor for yourself? Like, you know, surely no one in the Liberals thinks they're winning the next election.
No. Maybe they do. Maybe they believe it.
Well, like from all the reports that were coming out from all the different journalists that were getting all their, you know, texts and having the little chats with people in the hallway at Parliament House during all the shenanigans last week. Most of it was people talking about, like, just different MPs and senators who just looked absolutely shell-shocked, saying, like, we're fucked. We're absolutely fucked. And we're going to get destroyed.
But they're...
Why are they doing this?
Well, I think a lot of it, like, they thought that they were doing damage control when really they're rearranging the chairs on a Titanic, you know.
Well, and which comes back to my point, like, if you know you're going down, go down, let it all get stuck on the other guy and then start building up.
Yeah,
I don't understand why you would go like fucking 100 meters below sea level before you start trying to swim.
I mean, or just be like, Malk, we know, you know, you're not gonna get in again, just agree to swap over, right, and just say you're not going to run again and you know, put a different person in that seat. But instead, you know, Turnbull has, of course, gone on the scorched earth path, which is just insanely good for Labor and insanely bad for the LNP, for the Liberals, and just because he can't stand another day in that place. So I think his by-election will be very interesting. I don't think anyone's under any illusions that that the Labor Party's guaranteed to win it.
No, but they've done such a good job of, like, keeping their head down. Like, the one other thing that we haven't addressed through all of this is that when Malcolm Turnbull had officially been rolled, he very spitefully came out and he gave his final press conference in which he made extremely obvious references to both Tony Abbott when he said, I'm going to retire and leave Parliament because I believe that there is no place in Parliament for ex-Prime Ministers. and I think we've all seen that here today, he said. And he also made a point of talking about people within his own party and sections of the media who orchestrated a campaign to bring his Prime Ministership down, very directly referring to people like Shari Markson, you know, running front pages and running opinion columns every day about how he's, you know, not a real conservative and needs to get dropped.
I don't think he went far enough. I reckon he should have, like, named and shamed personally. If you're going to go out, then may as well not be a huge bitch about it, but, you know.
Well, that's his style, though. I mean, he at the end of his press conference, he then took questions from journalists.
Yeah, no News Corp.
Yeah, and very deliberately refused to take a question from any News Corp journalist. He has then said, I'm going to quit almost immediately, which is going to force a by-election in his seat, which, if the Liberals don't win it, will mean that they lose their current majority of one, which will force them immediately to an election.
Right.
Which would be the October election you're talking about.
Right. I trust the sports betting sites, that's all.
But I guess the reason why nobody knows how that's going to go is because we don't even know who's going to run there yet.
Oh, we do.
For the Liberals.
For Wentworth. Yes.
When did this come out?
Mm.
Someone who's gone up for pre-selection is Tony Abbott's sister, Christine Forster, for the Liberals.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Really?
Just in case that the Liberals were thinking to themselves that people are really sick of the whole Abbott-Turnbull back-and-forth battles and, like, nepotism and dynasties and all that sort of shit, they think it'll be a great idea to run Tony Abbott's fucking sister. That's it.
Great.
Oh, my God, they have exactly the same face.
They do. It's no good.
So let's take a few more questions here. Friend of the show, Sathias? Sure, I'm going to say it like that. Asks, which politician has the funniest name to spoonerize now that Joe Hockey has retired?
I can't believe I've never done that.
Oh, that is nice.
That's great. Well,
I thought of one which I've actually never said to myself before.
Mm.
Which is Shill Borton.
That's good.
That is pretty
good. It's good. It's not bad.
Talcum Murnbull.
Talcum Murnbull. Well, he's out now. He's dead and gone.
That's true.
Hmm.
I think we just got to go through them, don't we?
There's nothing that good. I never thought of Ho Jockey. Incredible.
There's no good ones on at the moment.
There's no good, and there's no point because I can't tweet it at Scott Morrison and say Mott's Garrison.
Because blocked. Why did he block you, Lucy?
Because I was slightly a bit rude to him.
I saw an article from BuzzFeed doing the rounds about why various people had been blocked by Scott Morrison.
A lot of people blocked, not even rude people.
And the photo, you know how a preview image comes up when somebody posts a link to an article on Twitter? And the preview image had a picture of our current Prime Minister and an inlay with a tweet from one Lucy Valentine.
What did it say, Andrew?
I actually can't remember. What did it say?
I believe it said, "What's up, you meme-loving fuck?"
Yes, that was the one.
I feel like that was in response to something, but I can't remember.
And then you got blocked.
Blocked.
Pister for crying.
Oh, that's, yeah, good. That's
a good one. That is a good one. Pister for crying. Hey, friend of the show.
Heg Duke Grunt.
Friend of the show, Duke Latham, asks, if you had to jack off one member of federal parliament, male or female, whose would it be?
No. No. Oh, no. Wait, so all of federal, not just the liberals, there's all of federal parliament to choose from.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Okay.
So
Maybe Albo, because I feel like he'd be a good sport about it.
Yeah, I think he'd be grateful about it, you know?
He'd be like, oh, good on you.
Yeah, he'd be appreciative.
Oh, good on you. Thanks, mate.
I know. <who's>... So, thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Who's the attractive senator these days?
Oh, geez.
I don't know if there is one.
I'm coming up with nothing.
I got nothing. Hot no, no one's daddy AF anymore, are they?
I'm trying to think it up.
Any hot chicks? I don't, you can't jack off a chick, right?
Yes, you. Well,
I mean, you might call it something else.
Oh, how about? See, now I feel like I can't say which lady I would jack off.
You can say it. Which one?
What about Larissa Waters?
Oh yeah, she's a pretty nice looking lady. That's a respectable choice. She's a nice
and I would do
lady.
It respectfully.
Mm.
Yeah.
With consent, of course.
Yep.
I'm going to say Corey Bernardi because I think he'll be really conflicted about it.
No, he'd give you the fucking psycho eyes the whole time.
You reckon? But he's real Christian.
That motherfucker's face?
What if I just slip a finger in there? I reckon he'd be just kill him inside, you know?
What if you jacked him off out of wedlock?
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, dear. Here's a question for you, Theo.
Ooh.
From our friend of the show, James Tidy. Anyone just feel like going to sleep for a long time?
Oh, man.
Yes.
Do I? So, yep, that's that question answered.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think we're all very tired at this point.
So fucking tired of it.
Everybody's tired. I'm sorry, I'm just browsing the senators. I keep forgetting that Darren Hinch is like a literal senator.
So weird.
Like, that's his job.
Let's see. Lover of the show, Josiah.
Oh, Joss.
Sweetie.
Joss. Joss asks, if it was decided by a battle royal style showdown, not by boring voting, who would win the leadership?
A battle what?
Royale.
Damn straight.
God damn it. If it was decided by a battle royale style showdown, not by boring voting, who would win the leadership of the Liberals?
Tony Abbott for sure. 100% Tony Abbott.
He's a biter.
He would go wild.
He's so fit.
He'd be fucking crazy eyes.
Although, remember when he showed up to do his volunteer firefighting and he just fell straight out of the truck onto his face and then the door of the truck hit him in the head?
Oh, I loved it.
We might get three stooged.
He's ripped, though.
Peter Dutton would be like first out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's that... So, if you've ever read... what's the Kafka book? Help me out.
Metamorphosis?
Metamorphosis. If you've ever read Metamorphosis, there's a point where, like... So, he turns into this bug and one of his relatives throws, like, an apple at him and it just, like, goes straight into his horrible soft carapace and just stays there.
That would be Peter Dutton's body.
That's how I picture Peter Dutton's head, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, I imagine, like, throwing something at Peter Dutton and it just...
Yeah.
Just settling into his soft skull. I bet he has the softest bones. I've never seen a man with, like... 0% bone structure before.
It's just nothing. It's all soft. It's
he looks like
soft.
He looks like Caucasian Kif from Futurama.
Just.
You know? Just boneless. Just boneless and grey. Grotesque motherfucker. Ugh. Oh, let's take one last one. Lover of the show, Amy, who asks, is this the most pathetic era in Australian federal politics? Yes.
I'm going to say yes.
I want to say yes.
The little I know about historical Australian politics, I still think it's pretty fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, I agree in that I don't think it's ever been more blatant that, like, the party that is nominally governing the country has absolutely no interest in improving the material conditions of the people who live in that country in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and haven't for this whole time. These past two terms, just zero interest in actually doing anything for the Australian people.
Yeah, and there are certain things like, you know, the Banking Royal Commission that they've been forced into doing after voting against it like fucking 16 times in a row. And as soon as it's actually happening, it's just uncovering, like, you know, widespread criminal activity by all banking institutions in the country, all seeking to just fucking defraud their customers. And all of them had just had the Liberal Party running interference for them for, like, fucking decades before this point. Like, yeah, just nothing that they pursue seems to have any net benefit for anybody living in this country.
Yep.
And the last, you know, however many months of shit that's now been about Malcolm Turnbull, the whole time that it's about Malcolm Turnbull or the leadership or anything like that, it's not about helping anyone who lives here.
Yep.
Let alone fucking anyone who doesn't live here.
Oh, like, yeah.
I also think that as far as federal politics goes, the last couple of terms of government has, in my lifetime certainly, never seen this country more isolated on the world stage in terms of making it extremely apparent to the rest of the world that they don't give a fuck about anyone who isn't here. And they also don't give a fuck about the people who are here.
Pretty much.
So, yeah.
That sums it up.
I agree. Hey, to wrap things up on a lighter note, this week we crossed the line of having 400 patrons.
It's bloody too much is what it is.
400
When will these people stop?
I hope never. Promised,
yeah, me too. But I promised our 400th patron, James Parsons.
And you would jack them
you
off.
You did. Well, you said you would jack them off.
I promised them that we would each make a nice compliment about them.
I think he's a lovely person.
Thank you, Lucy. Again?
He's a moofo.
James.
Mm,
James.
He's on Twitter. Mm. Chuck him a damn follow. He's good.
Look, you made a very wise choice, and I think that really reflects on your character. But also, Pames Jarson. So,
damn, you didn't know you were coming in here to get roasted, motherfucker.
Mm.
Finally joined up. We're shitting all over your chest.
This is a bullying. Maybe you like podcast. That kind of thing. Maybe he does.
So, folks, if you would like to follow the 400th patron of the show, you can find him on Twitter at ParsnipZilla and go and thank him. Thank him for his time. Thank him for his commitment to the cause.
Yeah.
Would have been really bad if the 400th person was like at child porn liker or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would have been a good bit though.
Yep. Kekistan 1488. Oh, yep. But thank you, James, for your support. And thank you, everybody else. Thank you all as of recording 480, you motherfuckers.
This might be their first bonus episode.
That's right. This would be something like 45 people this month.
Taking your little bonus virginity.
Their first bonus episode.
It's quite gentle.
Popping your bonus cherries.
It's been a gentle one.
Yeah. So thanks. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks
for your time. Thanks for your support. And we'll see you next week when we might do another... We might do a stream. We might do a live show.
Yeah, let's do it.
Ooh.
We'll figure some shit out and we'll let you know what it is.
Sick.
Of course, don't forget, if you have become a patron and you want to get on the old Discord, you can check out the details on Patreon and let us know if you have too much trouble figuring it out, and we will fob you off onto one of our supporters who knows more about it than us.
Yeah.
Hi, folks. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.